Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you a report with Paul Ramo at his usual spot at the control panel. So we're right around, we're leaving third and headed for home for the start of school. And speaking of baseball, the 100th annual amateur baseball tournament started yesterday in Litchfield and Dasso and Delano. Dumont played Kimball and lost a heartbreaking 4-2 defeat, so they were eliminated from the tournament. But nice write-up about Mike Schmidt from Dumont, who's battling cancer. He's got it in remission right now, but he's never missed a Dumont game, home or away, since 1940. So what a feat there. So Dumont is eliminated. Mineota plays next week in site to be determined of those three. So going to turn our attention now to football. Tony Smith, welcome back again, Tony.
Yeah, thanks for having me. As you get to July 4th and July just seems to disappear, and you start to think about fall and getting school ready and obviously the fall season. So it's coming fast.
It is. So you've had a week of practice with all pads. Monday's a big day to suit up and knock some shoulders together.
Yes, actually, so within the setup through the state high school league, Thursday was our first day that we could go full pad.
Oh, okay.
So that was nice. Not that we do a ton of live hitting and practices, but it's still nice to get that feeling, or the kids to get that feeling, and you start to see some of the strength that some of the kids have put on over the off season and the summer. And so it's you're right. You get to Monday and you're working towards Saturday's scrimmage, and Saturday's a whole other setup, just in the fact of it's now going to get faster. And I usually try to remind the kids, make sure you got your chin strap up, make sure you got your mouth guard in, take a deep breath, and be ready.
Yeah.
Because that first live rep is different than anything that you can simulate in a practice.
Well, that's for sure. Well, let's introduce your squad, and just before we went on, mentioned that pretty good numbers this year and excellent numbers in the junior high, so drive out there and watch practice, and it's kind of a sea of red in the mornings.
Yes, we have five seniors. They are T.J. Mitchell, Cale Benson, Peyton Rademacher, and Caden Molden, and Caden Mortensen. So those are our five seniors.
Okay.
We have 11 juniors, so there's a nice number there.
Good.
Davis Passer, Caden Kessler, Dylan Keimig, Tyler Earp, Tygan Allpress, who is out for the first time football. He'd been in cross country. He's trying football this fall as a junior. Landon Weber, Brock Bjornhild, Noah Meyer, Blake Wells, Cole Bjornson, and Drew Borstead are the 11 juniors.
Good.
We have seven sophomores. Seven sophomores: Nolan Smith, Brant Schomer, Reese Foster Anderson, Gabe Lowry, Callan Kranz, Douglas Bruner, and Elias Alonzo are the seven sophomores. And then we have a big group of freshmen. And just kind of talking with the coaches, as we've gone through this first week, very impressed with the freshmen and their attentiveness. They're asking questions. For the most part, you know, it's a heavy install week. For the most part, they're keeping their head above water and trying to absorb all the information that we're giving them. But there are 16 of those freshmen. So very good number, and like we said, very very informed, very in tune with what we're trying to do. So it's been a great first week, not only for all 39 of them, but the freshmen specifically. Freshmen are Gavin Meyer, Grant Bierke, Jax Wells, Riley Borman, Mason Wood, Gavin Mortensen, Samerson Sepinon, Jace Deleen, Tyler Kep, Gus Holm, Christian Chicano, Kason Heineke, Matthew Ullman, One John Romanis, Matthew Sherman, and Thor Hewitt. So, you know, we weren't really sure of how many kids we were going to have. We knew it was going to be bigger than last year just because of the freshman numbers. And so we got there, and all of a sudden we started counting. Yep, okay. Well, we quickly realized that we can start to go three groups in practice. And so the reps that these kids are getting, whether it's ones versus twos or twos versus threes, has been valuable for each and every kid. So we feel like we've done a very good job of getting these kids in and getting them reps. So it's been a lot of fun this first week.
Good. Your coaching staff?
Coaching staff this year, Josh Benson is returning, as is Paul Lowry and Mark Bjornhild. New to the staff this year, who was in the junior high last year, but to the 9-12 staff, is Brent Clemenson. Mike Weick has since moved and is now teaching up in Morris and coaching some junior high football up there. And then at the junior high level, right now we currently have Brian Moen and Matt Carmody. And with the number of kids there, I think we have 30 junior high kids. We're in the works of possibly getting somebody else to help and assist with those two grades.
Good. Brian Moen's done it forever.
I kind of introduced him as such, and he had said, you know, basketball, he's been at it for 25 years.
Wow.
Football, I think he said, isn't quite to 20 yet, but I mean, you consider he's been doing football, basketball, and baseball all junior high, so some of these kids get them all three seasons, and so hats off to him and his willingness to work with 7th and 8th graders throughout the school year.
That's for sure. So, yeah. So, you're pretty experienced in the seniors, of course, the juniors, and then a number of sophomores were forced to play last year. You got a lot of experience.
Yeah, I think, obviously last year was a tough year record-wise. And it was kind of interesting. You know, you get through the regular season, and then you get to go play bowl at Bold. And we thought that we played extremely well there. We just kind of ran out of gas, and they started to hit the accelerator pedal a little bit and got by us. But, you know, as we went into this year, it seemed like the kids that were out there last year getting lessons taught to them are now figuring out, you know what, the lights aren't going to be as bright, it's not going to be as fast, and I'm going to be able to accomplish a few things here. And so there's been some confidence in some of these juniors that played last year, sophomores, and obviously the seniors. As I told them the first day, seniors, this is one of your many first laughs as you go through this school year. And so, you know, as I was talking with Larry Peterson, who was the interim soup here a number of years ago, you know, his comment to me was the fall seasons set the tone for the rest of the school year. in a lot of different ways. And I shared that with this group and said, you know, I think that this is something that we can build on. Now, our district is, you could argue that it's one of the toughest in the state of Minnesota, especially in 1A, with RTR leaving and going to the south half and Bold entering in. So, you know, you look at our district, and we're playing MCC week one, Murray County Central. And the last number of years, 5-6 years, they've been very, very successful, top 2-3 seed in their section. And then you have Dawson, who's going to have some skill position kids. And then, you know, YME last year had a 5-3 record. They were senior dominated, so what do they have coming back? McCray had some young kids playing last year. And then Bold and Mineota. Camby has always got some scrappy teams. So there's not really an easy night as you look up and down our schedule. But as I told the kids, you know, it's we don't have a choice. And we get to say that we get to play these teams. And let's go out and see what we're made of. And let's see how we can compete with another year of experience with our group.
Sure. And kind of maybe a year of payback.
So, I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm excited for it. I think there's some opportunities for us. I just look at some of our skill position guys and some of the explosiveness that I think we can possess there. Up front, you know, last year we were undersized. This year I feel like we're more in the playing field as far as size-wise. You know, we're going to go 215, 190, 185, 180, 200. You know, so we've got a little bit more beef up front. And then defensively, I think it's just a matter of us rallying to the football. And that's one thing that I have noticed during our individual or team time has been the rallying to the football of our group. You know, I'll count 5, 6, 7 guys that are getting over to the ball, and that's what it's about. Not letting yourself be blocked, alignment and assignment, and rallying to the ball.
Yeah, good, good. Well, let's go through your predictions going into the season. First off, the conference, I guess you don't call a conference now, but and then postseason.
Yeah, it's kind of a long, drawn-out thing, but our district is the Southwest West District. Southwest West. And, you know, like I said, we've got Bold and Mineota, who, you know, it's tough to bet against them as far as where they are going to finish, 1-2, 1-2-3. I mean, last year, Mineota was the 4 seed in our section, and won it and then won the state tournament.
Yep.
So, and really probably the closest game they had in the postseason was to Bold, 21-7. So, you know, it's tough to say where those two are going to work themselves into. As always, it's going to come down to injuries. It's going to come down to depth and trying to develop some. And that's where we're at here, is we're trying to get some of these sophomores and freshmen, see where they're at, and see if they can help us in some situations if needed. Dawson will have a very competitive team, like I said, with their skill position guys. They lost a lot of guys of offensive and defensive line. And then you take a look at, you know, I think we can fit ourselves. Lakeview has had a really good team the last couple of years. I talked with one of the assistant coaches, and he said, you know, their senior group last year always got a lot of the ink, but they have a good number of juniors last year that are seniors this year that he thinks that are going to be very competitive too. So it's, you know, I think finding yourself in the 4-5 seed for us maybe is a goal, and hey, if things go right, maybe we're going to work ourselves into a 3 seed. But, you know, we'll let that all play out. And as we've talked, it's about building confidence. It's about putting good things, but good practice days together, And so you build that confidence so that, you know, when we go play Bold or Minnesota or whomever, it's just another game, because we know what we need to do and we know who we are.
Well, I know in the past you've had a lot of players going both ways, and it really showed, especially in the fourth quarter. Now with the numbers, and knock on wood, barring injuries, you can get some rest time for some of those guys, especially for special teams.
Yes, and we've talked about that. Paul Lowry and I have talked about that, you know, making sure that we're resting some guys up front, offensively and or defensively, with some of the depth, and trying to work in spots for some of the skill guys. And then special teams, obviously, Benson controls quite a few of those, and he works hard at that, and I'm excited to see what we can come up with this year. And again, like you said, finding some a couple plays off here or there for some of those frontline guys to give them a breather or a quick conversation and head back out. So that's going to be our goal here working into next week, and then obviously in the game week.
Okay. Well, with the scrimmage next Saturday, you've already introduced your team, so we won't have you on. But we will have you on in 2 weeks after your first game.
Yeah, we head down to Slayton and to Murray County Central. Like I said earlier, they've had a 4, 5, 6 year string here where they've had some pretty competitive teams in that east half, battling the likes of Springfield and Wabasso and New Ulm Cathedral and Tracy Milroy. So, you know, they will be a good test for us to see where we're at, to see where we've got our strengths, and to see where we need to improve as we go forward throughout the year.
Okay. Well, anything else, Tony?
No, I want to thank the Booster Club, the group of guys that are working with that. And so they've done a great job this summer in meetings and conversation. I thank the supporters of the Red Zone Booster Club and of the football program. And I've had a couple of conversations, filling up gas, going in the grocery store, even at the golf tournament here last couple Fridays ago. There was some conversation about it then. So very excited and very thankful for the communities that we have and the support that we get.
Okay. Well, your first game's on the road, and then you're at home the second week.
Yeah, we host Dawson, and that's Fair Friday. A couple of the conversation was kind of had of how can we get a home game on that Fair Friday of 2023, because that's the 150th, yes. And so lo and behold, if it didn't work out, and we're hosting Dawson, so that's even maybe a little sweeter. But you know, we'll take them as they come.
Right. Okay. Well, Tony, thanks for introducing your team and talking about the improvements that you're anticipating that they're going to make, along with the coaching staff. So we'll be talking to you again in 2 weeks.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
It's Tony Smith on football. Dr. Brent Hacker is in the studio. We'll be talking girls tennis after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, Tender Bird ready-to-cook chicken breasts, 3-pound bag, just $9. Marinated pork ribs, 25% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh-cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Back here in the studio with Dr. Brant Hacker, we're just talking girls tennis, and welcome back there, Doctor.
Hey, thank you much. I can't believe it's already time to get going again here. So
get going. You are. You yeah, already have.
We are getting going. That's right.
We're putting the cart before the horse because you actually played a three teams yesterday, but first off, let's introduce your team for this year.
Yeah, you bet. So, right, practice started this past Monday. We graduated four gals. We graduated, four of our strongest players, Caitlin Wittenable, Maddie Matthews, Claire Lowry, and Kelly Borman. So some really strong leadership, but we've got some nice gals stepping up into their spot. So looking at varsity roster this year, looks like, Taylin Jorgensen, a Dawson gal, is our only senior. So she's kind of leading the charge there. And then we've got a slew of juniors right now. So we have Sadie Hacker, Hannah Oy, Kayla Jan, Gertie Sieg, Elsie Wiebe, and Val Piotr as our juniors. And then Alexis Olson, Maya Virgie, and Jordan Johnson are all three 10th graders from Dawson that are filling out our varsity ranks. We've got pretty much everybody coming back from JV and adding a couple new people. So our JV crew right now, and who knows if it'll stay this way for the season, or whether they'll be there or varsity, but Kenna McTye, Macy Moen, Brianna Borsted, Reese Kuzman, Cameron Olson, Laura Schreier, Vanessa Piotr, Greta Hacker, and Taylin Cam are the JV crew right now. And Austin Ireland is back with all of his energy and enthusiasm, and I love it. He's awesome. So we have him back as the JV coach, which is great.
Good. Well, if there's anybody interested, first day of school or before, go get a physical and check in with a activities directors in either school and come on out for practice.
Yes, absolutely. We'd love to have you. We're always, nice thing about tennis is whether you play JV or varsity, you're going to play matches.
Right.
There's no bench time. You're always out there on the court. You get a match. So that's a nice thing. So, yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have anybody. We'll take whoever wants to come out and help and join us there.
Okay. Another conversation we had before we went on the air is the condition of the facility. I know you're going to be communicating with other coaches.
Yeah, we've got, unfortunately, we're on the road for most of the season, which, is good because our courts are tough, and the school knows that, and they're working on things there. So, but we've got 18 matches right now. We've got three home matches for the season. So, and I don't know if those will happen. We've got, two courts that are playable. We've got two maybes. And then we got two, kind of no way.
Right.
Really need four courts to host a match. So I'll communicate with those coaches, and make sure they're aware of what they're getting into if they're coming our direction. And most of the time, they're pretty good about those things. So we'll sort it out then.
Well, in Minnesota, with the frost and the snow and everything else, they've lasted for 30 years. So
yeah.
They're probably built, they lasted longer than they were built for.
The lifetime on those is probably come and gone already.
Yeah.
And it's hard, right? You gotta putting the maintenance in is tough. And I know the school did do some resurfacing 4 or 5 years ago. But, you know, just I think what you're resurfacing, if it's not in good condition, you just don't get good results afterwards. So yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your schedule and what teams you think are probably preseason favorites in the conference, and might add that you are in the West Central Conference for tennis, and then postseason.
Yeah, so right, we're West Central, so we see a lot of the teams that maybe the other activities at the school don't. Our West Central Conference teams are Benson, McRae, Melrose, Minnewaska, Montevideo, Sauk Center, Morris, and YME. You know, and out of that crew, Waska has always been pretty much the stronger team. But, you know, they graduated a few last year. Morris was coming on strong, and they didn't lose that many last year. So we'll see. You know, I think you've got some good coaches in the area. There was a little turnover. Monty's got a new coach, but Trish, who's now the coach in Monty, was coaching over in McRae for a while, and she played tennis. She's got a lot of knowledge there. So I think as far as the program goes and the West Central Conference, it'll be a tough year again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Section-wise, we're in Section 3A. You know, Laverne has always been one of the stronger teams down there. They've got a very strong program. They get good numbers out, so they're always tough to kind of get through. They're the ones that we had it down to 1 or 2 points last year at sections, and they pulled it off. They ended up going to state. So so they'll be back, and they'll be tough again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Matches, you know, we've already had, like you mentioned already, Dick, we've been out playing already. So we were in McRae yesterday for a quad. We saw McRae, Redwood, and Worthington. We were able to pick up wins against McRae and Worthington. Redwood, we lost 5-2, but, you know, we had the varsity team I mentioned, and we can go through some scores.
Sure.
If that's
yeah,
okay.
We got time.
So we've got everybody moving into new positions this year. Nobody's playing the same spot they did last year. You know, losing our top end of our varsity singles and our doubles, we've got folks that got to step up. So what we used for our singles lineup was Hannah Oy playing number one, Kayla Jan playing two, Sadie Hacker playing three. And then at fourth singles, we had a few people kind of rotate through with the three matches yesterday. That was Elsie Wiebe, Alexis Olsen, and Maya Virgie. Our one doubles team was the same throughout our three matches yesterday. That was Gertie Sieg and Taylan Jorgensen. And those three gals I mentioned, Elsie, Alexis, and Maya, kind of rotated through that two doubles position as well, just depending on who we're playing. And then Val Piotr and Jordan Johnson were our three doubles, and they played that position throughout all three matches yesterday. So Worthington, we picked up wins across the board. Worthington graduated 8 or 9 seniors last year. So, you know, it's always tough when you graduate and lose that many. You're rebuilding your whole team. You know, there's 10 varsity players in tennis, so you lose almost all of them, and you got some rebuilding. But we picked up wins. All those positions, we won across the board. It was 7-0 us. You know, Hannah, Kayla, Sadie, Elsie played singles, all picked up nice wins there. Hannah went to tiebreaker to pick up that win, so a third set. And then across doubles, we picked up nice wins. Val and Jordan at three doubles played a 7-5 first set, but turned it around and cleaned things up and played 6-2 in the second, so did a nice job there. You know, we saw Redwood Falls next, and Redwood Falls is a nice, it's kind of a loaded team this year. They've got 8 seniors on their roster. So, you know, when you get that experience and that time on the court, it just translates into good things usually. And we lost a close one, 5-2. Hannah, again, won in a three-set tiebreaker there. That was kind of Hannah's, that was her pattern for the day. Kayla did a nice job winning at 6-2, 6-0. Sadie Hacker lost 6-3, but played a tough second match at 7-5, and the same with Alexis Olsen at 4, lost 6-2 in the first set, but really picked up a few things, turned some things around, was able to push it to 7-5 in the second set there. And then Gertie Sieg, Taylan Jorgensen at 1 dubs, lost 6-1, 6-1. Maya Virgie, Elsie Wiebe lost 6-0, 6-2, and Val Piotr and Jordan Johnson lost 6-2, 6-2. So Redwood ended up picking up that win 5-2 over us. And, you know, they're a solid team. We're going to have to work across the board and try to see where we can get something off of them there. And then we saw McCray. McCray's also loaded. You know, they've got seven seniors. So we know that it's going to be work. And Tate Nickleby, their senior, made it to state last year in singles, playing number one. So Hannah Oy faced off for her, against her, won the first set 6-2, did a nice job staying aggressive, pushing the ball deep, making Tate move. And then Tate did clean up her game, took the second set 6-2, pushing it to a third set tiebreaker, and Hannah ended up losing 10-6. But I think, you know, Hannah's stepping into some big shoes there. She's moving up from third singles to first singles. As the first singles player, you know you're always going to face the best player on the other team. Yeah. So, you know, that's a big ask. And she did a nice job keeping a good attitude, playing hard, you know, up or down, was very solid in her effort level. So, you know, that's all you can really ask. And hopefully, and I try to talk with each of the players after their matches, like, hey, you know, what's one thing we can take away from this match? What are we going to learn about it? You know, so we can take it to the next match and be a little stronger player, because that's how you get better, just, you know, a little bit after a little bit. So, so we had a couple points we talked about there. And Kayla ended up losing. Kayla Janet, two singles, ended up losing 6-2, 7-6. So our McCray match is all about tiebreakers. So she ended up losing that second set in a tiebreaker, 7-6. Sadie Hacker, playing third singles, lost her first set in a tiebreaker, 7-6. Was down 5-0 in the second set, picked up a couple games, but ended up losing it 6-2. I think she was just too far behind at that point to stay in it. Maya Virgie did a nice job, 7-5, 6-1 at fourth singles. She did a nice job. She was behind in the first set, did a nice job kind of starting to move the ball around instead of just pushing it back up the middle. In tennis, you know, the matches, your goal is hit the ball away from your opponents. When you're practicing, it's always hit back and forth to each other. So it's a little bit of a mind change when you're playing matches, but she did a nice job there. And then her doubles ended up picking wins up across the board against McCray. Yeah. Gertie Sieg, Taylin Jorgensen took the first set 7-6 in a tiebreaker, picked up the second set 6-4. Elsie Wiebe, Alexis Olsen, first set 7-6 in a tiebreaker, picked up the second set 6-3. And then Val Piotr, Jordan Johnson ended up winning 6-2, 6-1 at three doubles. So, you know, I don't feel that we were especially single strong or double strong. Sometimes you can kind of load one end or the other, but we picked up wins in both our singles and our doubles across the board yesterday. So, you know, we'll have to see how things roll, but I think that's, you know, that looking at our lineup, that's probably where we'll stick. I thought we're going to be working on it all half the season before we find out where we're going to be, but I think we've got some players in some good spots. So,
good.
Yeah.
Well, you got a busy week ahead of you. I know
right.
Before school starts, you're about halfway through your season already.
Yeah, that's right. This year, we're exactly halfway through. We got 9 matches before school starts and 9 more after school starts. So on Monday, we head over to Redwood. We see Redwood and we see Monty. On Thursday, we head over to Montevideo, and we're going to use the courts over by the Wyndham courts over by the pool as kind of our home courts. Then Pipestone and Laverne come up, and Monty's going to play one over at their home courts. We're going to play the other at Wyndham courts, and then Pipestone and Laverne are going to swap places, and we're going to play again over there.
Okay.
So we'll be over there for, you know, a good half the day or more on Thursday. And then on Friday, we head over to Marshall, and we play Marshall and Milbank in Marshall.
Okay.
So, like, that used to be a triangular we hosted, but because of our courts where, you know, everything's getting moved to other places. So,
right.
And that's okay. I mean, Alex is the coach. Alex Klepp is the coach over there. Great guy. Very, very kind about being willing to host. So that's nice that we'll do that on Friday.
So yeah. Some of the others that are not varsity, will they be in action next week too?
Yes. Great. Good question, Dick. Yeah, thanks. So JV starts on Thursday, and we're going to host JV. So JV matches, we're a little less fussy about the court conditions. But so we'll be able to host JV McCray on Thursday. And then JV and varsity, we're both going over to Marshall.
Okay.
So we're taking, you know, the whole team, we're heading over there, and JV and varsity will get matches. So it'll be a nice day.
Good. So, busy week.
Yes, it's a busy week. And I'm just, you know, looking at the forecast, Tuesday and Wednesday are the tough days next week. So I'm glad we're not in action on those. So it'll work out.
Just for the people of medicine, probably don't want to get sick because you can't see them.
That's right. I took a lot of vacation the last week or two here, so that's right. But that's okay. I enjoy this a lot, and it's fun to get out there. And, you know, it's always, and I'm sure you hear this from other coaches, but you get a good group of girls out there, and, you know, they're giving it their best, and that's all I'm going to ask is, you know, you get on the court, you have a good attitude, you have a good effort, and you so show some good sportsmanship, and after that, the chips fall where they are. Yeah.
Well, the girls like playing for you as well, and and Mr. Excitement too.
Yeah, yeah. Austin's awesome. I love having him back. So
Austin is awesome.
Yeah, he is. Right. That's exactly right.
Well, best of luck this up and coming week. We'll hear all about it next Saturday.
Hey, thanks much, you guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, Dr. Brand Hacker on girls tennis. We'll be talking volleyball after this.
Yeah, thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Take care. Have a good rest of the day there.
7 o'clock this evening, free will donations will be accepted. Tony was born without arms and taught himself how to play guitar with his feet. He's performed nationwide, including for Pope John Paul II in Los Angeles back in 1987. So come on over to St. Michael's Catholic Church for some music with Tony Melendez tonight, 7 o'clock. Calvary Baptist Church in Madison, Sunday service will be at Big Stone Camp for Christ in the Ortonville area at 10:30 a.m., not at the church. No services at Calvary in Madison on Sunday. And, of course, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, there's plenty of action around the area. Swift County Fair going on in full strength in Appleton. Got the Porter Harvest Festival down at Porter and Corn Fest in Ortonville this weekend.
We always love time at the lake. Visit with the neighbors and fishing with the grandkids. I've been installing floors for over 30 years, crawling around the lot. My knee pain was getting worse. It was harder to do the things I wanted to do, so I went to CCM Health. Dr. Brandt made me feel real comfortable right away. Just seems down to earth, doesn't pressure you. I trust CCM Health to do my knee surgery when it's time. CCM Health has helped me live my life.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could sell grain from your office, from your tractor, from the local coffee shop? What if you're on vacation, the market runs, and you want to sell? With CargillAg.com, you can. Anytime you have internet access, you can sell your grain to Cargill. By signing up for a free account through your farm marketer or sales support rep, you can manage all of your Cargill activity, including tracking all of your grain contracts, scale tickets, and more. You can also sign documents with the Cargill e-signature. Sell grain and check the latest futures prices. Contact your local Cargill representative or visit CargillAg.com. Get ready to have some fun at the 125th Annual Swift County Fair in Appleton. It's happening August 16th through the 20th. Entertainers this year include country recording artist Tracy Lawrence, plus the White Sidewalls, Johnny Home, Expedition, and Larry Olson Band. Midwest Rides will be on the Midway. Advance tickets available at several Swift County banks and a few other locations. New this year is a car show that Sunday from 10 to 2. Get all the info online at SwiftCountyFair.org. Make plans to be there. The Swift County Fair in Appleton, August 16th through the 20th. Saturday at the Swift County Fair, the carnival opens at 1, Swift County Rib Fest and Craft Beer Tasting at 3, Demo Derby in the Grandstand at 5:30, and Tracy Lawrence in the Chuck Brown Building at 9 p.m., followed by fireworks and the 70s Magic Sunshine Band.
The place to be this weekend is Porter. It's the 2023 Porter Harvest Festival this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, celebrating 142 years of the Porter community. Visit Porter's website for updates and additional information at portermn.org and check them out on Facebook at Porter Harvest Festival.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. Going to turn our attention now to volleyball, and Brooklyn Gold is in the studio. That's great. So welcome back.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, let's introduce the squad for this fall.
So on varsity this year, we are sitting with 10 girls as of right now. It's room for some younger girls for us to grow as well. But what we're kind of thinking right now is Isabel Gertis has been the libero for varsity the last like 3 years. She actually tore her ACL during the first playoff game in basketball last year. Yeah. So she's really hoping she can get back. She had to go get an MRI on Friday, and I'm not going to tell everybody kind of what's going on, but we're kind of hoping on the upside of things for her. So hopefully we'll be seeing her back within the next month, kind of hoping. Otherwise, we have Claire Bohr said she's going to be running as our libero for us while Belle is out. She played in the back row for me last year and did a really, really good job. And over the summer, she's really taken the time to put in the extra work to become a very valuable player for us as a libero. And then we have returning Lexi Wolschlager and Brandy Meyer as our outside. So that is, they're going to be a powerhouse for us in the front row just because they played for us last year. Mm-hmm. And this year they're going to be playing some back row for me, and they're both very scrappy as well. So, Lexi Wolschlager is a senior for us, and she led us in kills last year. So we're going to have high expectations for her again. And Brandy Meyer was their first year last year, and she's a junior this year. So she's definitely blossomed a lot this summer and the end of the season last year. So we're going to think she's going to be a huge asset for us in the front row this year. And then returning-wise, we have Jalen Lee in the middle as a junior. Last year was her first year for us, and she has been so determined this summer, getting in the gym, in the weight room, working really hard. And she's going to be a huge asset for us, too. We have her marked down as 6 feet tall. She's 5'11", but a little over, so you just give her that extra little bit to get up there. She's quick and fast, so blocking-wise, she's huge for us, too. And, you know, being that tall as a girl, sometimes they don't play back row very well in the middle, but she is definitely someone that can pass and dig balls for us, too, so that's huge. And then we have Callie Kahn. She is a sophomore coming in to start varsity for us as a middle. She's a 10th grader, but she's very much matured at probably like a junior level. She's going to be a powerhouse for us in the middle, too, with Jalen. Really good at blocking. Her and Jalen are cousins, so they worked really close together this summer, getting in the weight room together. So it was nice seeing them doing that. And then we have Caitlin Kittleson as our setter. As a senior, and last year she played just back row for me. It was one of those instances where we had Ayanna Gibson, who's been setting on varsity for years and years, and then Riley Lund came in as a setter. So Caitlin's very scrappy, so last year we put her in the back row, and this year, just watching her, I think it was really good for her last year being in back row for us, because she's so scrappy as a setter. She's picking up balls that you're like, oh, that's a dead ball. Nope, here comes Caitlin hustling through. So she's going to be a setter all the way around for us. And then we have Abby Omlin, also a setter. She's never set before. She's taller. She's 5'10", and she's been a hitter and scrappy back row. We're just looking for the future of us, you know, her setting wise. She has soft hands and just kind of getting her confident with that, because and then she's only a sophomore, so she can develop really well. The pace setters coach that we had a camp at this summer, and she couldn't believe that Abby was only a sophomore, and she thinks, you know, next year and then her senior year, she's going to be a strong asset for us. So that was really nice to hear. And then we have Isabel Gertis. She's coming every day cheering loud. She's definitely the hype girl on our team, and I think everybody has seen that. So she's at practices being vocal, picking up girls, working with the younger girls, which is really helpful. She's staying positive, so hopefully we'll see her within the next month. And then we have Jada Kessler. She is 11th grader. We're kind of trying to figure out things where we kind of want to put her. She does a really good job in the back row, so she might see some back row time for us. And then we have Peyton Sack. She is my only freshman that is on varsity right now. So Isabel and Claire are going to be graduating this year, so kind of looking at the future of things back row wise. Peyton's only a freshman, and she has grown so much this summer as well. Throughout practice this week too, me and my assistant coaches were talking about how much she's grown just this week, you know, the discipline that she's doing to work on her technical skills, you know, and that's huge. So I gave her a jersey in hopes our Claire and Belle and our older girls kind of take her under her wing and kind of show her the ropes of how we're mm-hmm. doing things. So that's been super helpful. And the way things are looking, she might see some time on varsity in the back row for us too. So that is our varsity team. We're small as of right now, but there's room for growth, and we're going to have a couple shoes to fill next year, but I want these younger girls to kind of, I have the older girls mentoring them, and I want to kind of see who's going to blossom for us throughout the year, and we might be a growing team halfway through to the season. We'll see, but as of right now, I'm comfortable with our team right now. I'm very confident in them. They're putting in the work all summer. We did 3-day-a-weeks practices this week or this over the summer, and all the girls came in and they worked so hard, and it's been nice coming into the season because we're not have to focus on those first step technical skills. Now we're working on the more advanced stuff, which mm-hmm. has been really helpful. So I'm hoping our even JV and C squad, I'm hoping our season, it's fun watching them this week. It was really fun.
No, in basketball, you could play some JV and varsity. Mm-hmm. Can you do that in volleyball too?
Yep. So the girls can only play 5 sets.
Okay.
So that's where it gets kind of hard because C squad and B squad usually they play 2 sets. Sometimes they play 3 depending on time or if they need to do decide who's the winner of the game. But varsity, you can go into 5 sets. So that's where it gets tricky. Like if we need to pull girls, sometimes we might be like, you can't have this girl on JV at all. Just because we don't know how the games are going to turn out on varsity.
Right, right. Your coaching staff then?
So this year, Heidi Gertis said goodbye to us. Oh. And she kind of told me, she's thinking about leaving this year or next year. She's been doing it for a long time, and she has been awesome. So we have Caitlin Mortensen that stepped in as a JV coach. She has been amazing. Her and I have very much the same values, morals, hype, loudness, so that's nice having that. And she brings a lot of knowledge in the setting game for us, which is huge because I was not a setter. I could tell you do your 1-2, keep your elbows in, but that's about it. She knows the technical sides of things, the footwork. She set in high school, so it was really nice. So I know a lot about passing and hitting, so we balance each other out really, really well. And then Tyler Peters she was our C squad coach last year, so she's here with us again this year. So, and then we have Molly Hennon as our 8th grade and Janelle Boyum as our 7th grade. Okay. So the only new face you'll see is Caitlin Mortensen now. But Heidi Gertis actually texted me. She's like, I'm signed up for every line judging every home game. And I told her, I'm like, I'll be watching you because there was a lot of times last year we were a little iffy about the line judging. So, yeah.
So you will have 5 different teams, 7th, 8th, 9th, and JV and varsity, provided the opponents have all that as well.
Yep, so. and that's always good because it seems like in these smaller communities, we're kind of seeing junior high only having 1 team sometimes because they don't have enough girls. So it's great seeing 7th and 8th grade being big teams because Molly and Janelle do a great job teaching them those skills, so they're ready for us when they come to us. Yep.
So, question we always ask at the beginning of the season is, who do you project to be real strong conference-wise and then section-wise?
Minneota's always there. Okay. They go to state every year. I mean, they're great. They did lose one of their valuable players this year, so, we're kind of hoping we can compete a little bit more with them this year. Last year, the head coach came up to us and was like, I can't believe how well you guys did, because Lacaparo's just been on the back burner. So that was good to hear. McCray's always, they've been good the last 2 years. I would assume they're still going to be good this year. They lost any time, but they have a great middle and a great setter still. You got Camby, who we always seem to be competing with as well. Tracy's always good as well. Like we always say in this, where we have the hardest conference, mm-hmm. But that's good because it challenges our girls. And, the girls know that there's Minneota, Camby, Tracy, McCray, but they don't look at it as like, these guys are good. We're going to lose, or these guys always go to state. They look at it as like, it's a challenge. Like, we can compete with them. We're scrappy. Let's give it our all, because what do we have to lose? You know, so that's really good that they have that positive mindset. We really worked on that last year, and it's definitely carried over to this year, which is really nice.
Okay. Then your starting schedule, starting when and who and where?
So our schedule is a little bit different this year. Usually we have a game next week and then the first day of school. But our first game is on the 31st against CGB at home. And that is our day that we're doing that pie in the face. I don't know if you guys saw it. So we have a couple, Adam Loy, Scott Swatsky, Scott Kahn, Tony Smith, myself and Zach Stelter all are going to be nominations for getting pied in the face. So all the girls and some businesses are selling tickets for us. So we'll be doing that before the varsity game. So we'll see how that goes.
You mean Paul is not getting a pie in the
face? I know. I should have asked him. He'll be a good nominee for us next year.
He's a pie professional at all these fairs.
Yep. I like to eat it. Right. Well, we'll think about you next year, because we'll need a new wave of nominations next year.
Then you have a lot of tournaments on Saturdays, too.
So this year we actually only have one tournament. Oh. A lot of the tournaments that we had last year are no longer doing it. And with the AD switch, things kind of, it was hard finding things. So, of course, the one tournament we have is Saturday of the Lacaparro Fair. So that's in Lakeview, and that's a new tournament. So we'll be seeing some different teams that we haven't played before, which will be really nice, too.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and then basically the same teams would be strong in the section.
Oh, for sure.
And our section has a great history at the state tournament.
Yep, so, it really does. It'd be nice if we can somehow get there. Yeah, but that's what happens, you know, like as a second-year head coach, you got to build it, and it takes a while to build your program too. Yeah. So our hopes are we can be on people's radars, you know, this year and years to come.
Okay, for sure. So. Yeah. Anything else?
No, thank you very much for having me.
You did a super job. I hope you come in every Saturday that you can. So that's good. So that's Brooklyn Gold on volleyball. We'll take this break and finish out the first week of the Culture Show for 2023-24 after this.
It's the 84th annual Corn Fest in Ortonville, August 18th through the 20th. There will be arts, crafts, and food vendors open, a 5K, 10K walk run, Big Stone Cruisers annual car show, all kinds of other activities, and of course the big Corn Fest parade to be held on Sunday, August 20th at 2 p.m. You can check them out online, get all the information at BigStoneLake.com. For the Big Stone Lake Area Chamber of Commerce, they invite you to the 84th annual Corn Fest celebration, August 18th through the 20th in Ortonville. We'll see you there.
Schibbel Mutual, your local Grinnell Mutual member insurance company, understands the value of teamwork. That's why we are looking forward to the accomplishments of the hardworking student athletes in our communities. Every achievement, big and small, is worth celebrating. Trust in teamwork. Trust in tomorrow. Contact your Schibbel Mutual agent today. Contact Mitch Gertis at 320-289-2388. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
It's summer in a big way. So go big at Mall of America. Your summer adventure is on with a stay at Radisson Blue Mall of America, conveniently connected to the mall. Swim a little, spa a little, shop up to 500 stores, enjoy every kind of dining, and so much more. Nickelodeon Universe has live Paw Patrol shows. Then get creative with the youngest ones at Crayola Experience. So you can go big just by going to Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/summer.
Well, that wraps up our first Culture Show for the 2023-24 school year. And I got a couple, well, they're not Dick Newman jokes, they're kind of life hacks. Do not use chemicals to kill ants. Instead, get a spray bottle, fill it with water and salt, 25%, shake well, and spray. Boom, dead. I haven't tried it, but I'm going to. A lot of ants is around this year. And secondly, if you're in an area where you should have cell phone service but don't, put your phone on airplane mode and then switch back. This will cause your phone to register and find all the towers in your vicinity. And I know myself and Paul have had trouble up in Wheaton, so we'll have to try that, Paul.
Yeah, we will.
So, yeah. So, a couple things to try. Well, that concludes our show. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Getting set for a soaking. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Hurricane Hilary is off Mexico's Pacific coast and could reach Southern California as the first tropical storm there in 84 years. San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria is asking residents to get ready right now.
Prepare to shelter in place during the storm. Make sure that your phone and other devices are fully charged in case the power goes out, and make sure the batteries on your flashlight are working.
Parts of Southern California may get up to 10 inches of rain in the coming days. Emergency officials are concerned that so much moisture could mean downed trees and power lines, as well as mudslides and blocked roadways. Republicans will hold their first presidential debate of the 2024 campaign on Wednesday in Milwaukee, but another possible debate could happen this fall between California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom and Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. DeSantis tells Guy Benson on Fox News Radio that he hopes the debate happens so he can highlight the failures of liberal policies like Newsom's.
This is an important debate because any state or municipality that has adopted a left-wing agenda has failed, whether it's San Francisco, whether it's Illinois, whether it's Baltimore. All these places have ruined the quality of life for their residents.
Newsom has been critical of Governor DeSantis, notably over transporting migrants to California and Massachusetts. New data shows Americans are tapping into their savings and the stimulus money provided by the government during the pandemic. The San Francisco Federal Reserve reports those reserves could be gone during this quarter, causing a safety net to disappear. That means consumer spending soon could slow down. Americans are also using credit cards more to pay their bills. America's listening to Fox News.
New from the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
And I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
These are the stories that keep you up at night.
Get all of your favorite Fox News podcasts commercial-free on Apple Podcasts with Fox News Podcasts Plus. From Dana Perino, Kennedy, Ben Domenech, The Duffys, and many more. Subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses.